This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Well, part of your host anyway. I have Jay on the line also that's going to do the show. As you can tell, my sinuses have just ruined my voice today. So Jay's going to be doing most of the talking. I sound just awful. I mean, I feel just fine, Jay, but my voice box has been attacked.
It sounds rough, man. It's that time of year, going in from spring into summer. All them pine pollen and all those allergies tend to come out in a lot of people, so it's totally understandable. Totally understandable. So
it gets me every May. I get this mess. It's awful. But Jay coming in last minute to help me out on the show today, so I could save some of my voice for the weekend, Memorial Weekend coming up. And I just want to take this moment to thank all the vets that gave their lives for our freedoms and what we have to do, what we have today. I'm going to post a picture of my father in his Marine uniform when he was 17 on Monday. I found this picture a few months ago, and I want to pay tribute to my dad on Monday when that comes. So look for my tweet with my dad's picture on it. He's a good-looking guy. I don't know what the hell happened to me, where my genes came from. I feel like Danny DeVito in Twins. I'm the side effect. So,
yeah. So what year did your dad go in the military?
Oh, it was in the 40s. Probably 45, I think. 1945, he joined the Marines. I think he jumped out of high school to join the Marines. And I think it was right after the war ended. So he didn't see any action in World War II. I think it was officially over when he joined. But, yeah, he was stationed in Parris Island. And that's kind of how he met my mom. My family's from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And during the teenage years, you know, my dad would go to these social events and such. And he met some people. He met a fella. That fella happened to be dating my mom at the time in high school. So dad lost touch with this guy. He joined the Marines. And guess it was in his platoon. It was this guy. And one thing led to another. My dad stole my mom away from him. And our families have been close ever since. A few godchildren here and there. So it's an interesting story to where my dad stole my mom away from this fella. So.
Wow, that is pretty wild. And there is Memorial Day weekend coming up. And definitely have to, say it for the veterans out there. You know, speaking of Memorial Day, you know, I never served in the military or anything, and I didn't have any close family members that necessarily served in the military, but I've always been a studier of history, and, you know, especially the 20th century, we here in America can't seem to go 10 years without getting ourselves involved in some war or another, as terrible as it is, but as a young man, I always study what had to do with the military and, famous generals and, just like James Edwards and all those guys, I eventually, at the Civil War, I became a big fan of Forrest, Nathan Bedford Forrest. Real, real interesting guy, you know. He never served in any, never had any military training, you know, none of that. Was really a self-made man. Throughout his life, things would happen that would catapult him into positions that he was really not trained to be able to do, but he was just always successful at it. He was a wealthy man whenever the Civil War broke out, and when he went down to enlist and enlisted as a private when the Civil War broke out, but, you know, he was a very well-to-do man in the town at the time, so some town leaders went down, they said, hey, can we promote this guy and make him at least an officer? I mean, come on, this is a big wig we've got coming in the military, don't start him out as a private, and the governor, I do believe, said, well, okay, I'll do that, but he's going to have to equip his own men. He's got to pay for their uniforms and pay for their weapons and everything. And so Forrest said, okay. And so I'm pretty sure they brought him in as a lieutenant. And he equipped his own men and started out with that. And just throughout his career, it was just success after success. Almost no fallbacks on him, you know, and constantly he would be put in a position, especially later in the war, where, you know, he wasn't trained or of the rank to take control of the men that he would take control of, but they would throw him into the mix and he would always be successful at it. And, Union generals just couldn't stand him. He just drove them nuts. And, I can't remember if it was Grant or if it was, Tecumseh Sherman, but one of them said a quote to the matter of, he was talking to some other guys and they're something about, send me Lee, send me Beauregard, send me any of those other guys, just God, do something about Forrest, because it was just, Forrest terrified him. And you know what, I hear a lot of historians and everybody talk about is, how good his tactics were, but when I look at him, I think what made that guy so aggressive on the battlefield, so dangerous to the enemy, wasn't what he did know, it's what he didn't know. And what I mean by that is, Forrest, you know, all the other guys, Lee and Grant and all the rest of them, on Union and in the South, all the upper-class generals, they all went to West Point. You know, they all knew each other. They all went to the same military schools, you know, all were very well trained. And the thing is about that, when you go to a military school or any type of schooling, they teach you what to do and what not to do. And, you know, kind of what I'm getting at with that is, there was this whole list of things that they would drill into those guys. Don't do this. Don't do that. That can't work. Don't ever try this or you'll end up dead. And, you know, so by the time they got out of the schools, there were just whole sections of ideas and tactics that would seem crazy and potentially dangerous that they just didn't even look at. They just couldn't see them. Well, Forrest didn't have any of that training. So whenever he would go onto the battlefield and he would look at the battlefield, every avenue of attack was open to him. He didn't have any of that drilling in his mind, you can't do this or this won't work. Did you say something there? Did I lose you your cue? Hello? I'm not sure who got cut off there, if it was me or him, but I'll keep going with what I was saying. And, Forrest had whole sections of the battlefield that, were not closed off to him, where the rest of them were closed off. And when Forrest would go into battle, the idea of whenever you're surrounded, split your forces in half and charge in both directions. Well, if you look at good military doctrine, that's a good way to get yourself spanked all over the battlefield. But, you know, for Forrest, that could enter his mind. That was a legitimate tactic. That was wide open to him because he was not trained that can't work. That can never be successful. Don't ever try it. So Forrest had the ability to look at the battlefield and know right then, hey, this will work. Let's do this and employ it. And that's what made him great.
Okay. This is 7-5 Radio with your host, Walter Yerkew, and Jay joining me for the day. And we'll be back after these breaks. Thank you for joining.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
All right, we're back. I tried to clear my throat drinking some tea. It doesn't seem to help. So I'm drinking some brandy. Some nice warm brandy. That sounds good. That sounds good. I'll have to run down to the liquor store later. Hey, Jake. This come in the other day. I heard about this last night, about the NFL and their new rule about kneeling at the national anthem during the national. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I mean, I know the controversy that's going on with it, but now they've got a new rule that they're allowed to kneel instead of putting their hand over their heart or stand?
No. Oh, no. Commissioner Goodell, who makes $31.7 million a year, to come up with the following. He put a proposal to the NFL owners that no kneeling during the national anthem. It was unanimous, except, of course, San Francisco 49 owner wouldn't vote on this. But the kneeling is to cease and desist immediately. No one will kneel. If they do, there will be consequences to the team and the player, probably monetary, which really, you know, it doesn't add up to much the way the money is in the NFL. Or if they don't want to be out on the field during the national anthem and stand up, they could stay in the locker room. I could never figure out. Everybody's got a different cause. You know, they all kneeled for different reasons. But I wish, you know, somebody would come out and say, you know, exactly why they're kneeling and what they're representing. But to hold 50,000 people in a stadium hostage to show what deliberate acts against our flag is just preposterous. I didn't watch any game. I watched the Super Bowl, but I didn't watch one NFL game last year. And I am a freaky Jet fan. I did not watch it at all. So your thoughts on that, Jay?
You know, my thoughts on it is, you know, anybody listening to me knows how I think about these situations is, you know, I like the controversy brought to it because there's so many men out there that ran off and hid in sports, football and basketball, once they figured out that they couldn't get anything done in the political field. The political field, you know, was just, you know, it was a losing thing for them. You know, back in the day, people would be fanatical fans, but they weren't as fanatical as they are now. If you go back and look at baseball fans in the 20s, 30s, 40s, then when football got going, I mean, they weren't as crazy into it as they get now. And I think now it's because, you know, the enemy controls our media, and they have just put that as, okay, that's an area where you're allowed to go, you know, be act like a man. You know, you're allowed to let your testosterone flow. We'll let you go over there. And they allowed it for that way for a long time through the 80s, 90s. And then, you know, as things just deteriorated politically, because that was the only, you know, guys ran out from that area because they feel like they couldn't get any victories or win anything. Now they've all of a sudden decided, well, we've got this political field locked down. Okay, now we're going to go over there and we're going to take football out so you guys can't have anything anymore. So in some ways, it's bringing a lot of guys out. It's making guys stop watching football and making guys have to come back out and look around and go, what the hell is going on in the world? My God. Well, I wasn't looking at over at football, the whole war, you know, the whole country's falling to damn part. You know, our sons and daughters are being sent off to fight foreign wars for, you know, no interest of America's whatsoever at all. That's a serious damn problem. So, you know, I don't like seeing guys joy taken away from them. But on the other hand, what they have done in some ways has helped guys like me that want to get this country fixed and get this crap that we put up with brought to a halt. It's brought a lot of guys that normally would not get involved in the discussions that I would get in. Now they're involved. Now they're out and they're going, yeah, I realize what the hell's going on out here. This is a mess that we've got on our hands.
I'm in agreement with what you're saying. And, you know, if a lot of the players, they do help in their communities, you know, the cities that they were either born in or the cities that they play football in. And, you know, I've seen it on TV here in Tennessee with the Titans. I've seen player after player after player, you know, show up at the food bank, show up at Second Harvest, show up on Thanksgiving and help dish out food to the homeless and Christmas and things like that. And, you know, that's a great community service. But however, you know, the politics, you know, if I'm an NFL player, why would I want to get involved in politics? You know, I guess Bruce Kemp was the exception, Buffalo Bill quarterback from the, what, 60s. Finally became a U.S. senator and tried to make a bid for president about, what, 20 years ago. But, you know, if you're an NFL player, play NFL. If you have something to say, I believe that there is a particular forum that you can have and not just hold the 50,000 people that are in that stadium. And I use the word hostage. That might be a little bit extreme. But I'm not there to watch you do your political thing. I'm there to watch a football game. That's just my thought. That's just my thoughts on it. I like watching football. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big football fan. There's a lot of players out there that don't have anything to say or do have things to say and keep it to themselves or in their inner circles. And, but you know, everybody reflects, you know, the poster boy for Neil would be like Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, he's donated some money. He's helped out in some under-resourced communities, as Michelle Obama stated once on 60 Minutes. And, you know, he's helped a little bit, but not as much as he spews out. And I think, you know, if I'd have more respect for the man if he would do more than just run his mouth about the things. You know, you have football players defying the police. You have you know, they go into strip clubs, then they come out drunk, they get pulled over by a cop, and the cop, he says, you know, the cop was wrong in pulling me over. And, you know, this whole thing about if you are an NFL player, be an NFL player. And you're right, the game is different from the 50s and now. Social media was taking care of that. Television, you know, big thing in the 60s that put these sports figures right in front of our faces in our living rooms. And but there's a difference between the caliber of players in the early part of the last century as opposed to the later part of the century and now. A lot more money, and you know what money brings. You know, money's the root of all evil.
It's the little things in life that matter. Details are important. The details are the most important thing with anything you do in life. It's the big things tend to sort themselves out. It's the small things. If you don't watch the small things, you know, the small little issues will balloon into a huge problem that is, you know, very difficult to take care of, because now you got to run around and fix all the small things. And that's what people have found. It's like, that politics did stay out of football for a long time. And if you look what, you know, most of the politics now that have invaded football that started this, it was all based on identity politics. It was, different groups pushing for different ethnic things would run in. They revved up a bunch of the black players that were saying, because of this injustice or that injustice, you shouldn't stand for the flag. And before you know it, it invaded everybody's sports, and it jostled a bunch of guys. They're like, what the hell's going on? What's this all about? And my reply on it, it's because in the 80s and 90s, it was the little things that were happening in the 80s and 90s, government, making way too much control of your schools, government invading your law enforcement, dictating way too much of their small rules, because guys did not pay attention to those small problems and speak out enough during that time that, now it's invading your last holdouts, because football and all that is one of the last holdouts where testosterone's allowed to be. And what's funny about it is it's a worldwide issue, because they're having the same problem. Their fanatical sport for the rest of the world is soccer, and they call it football. But for soccer, for them, right now, they're having the same problem with all these different types of weird identity politics has invaded into their sports. And, I mean, like, God, I think the Australian football team was wearing pink uniforms or pink soccer balls that have to do with transgender rights, and all the guys were upset about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame them, because that sounds like, that sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy joke from the 90s. Wait till this damn pack car shows up and...
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
Hey, we're back, and I'm still trying to talk. I apologize for the deepness of my voice. My lady friend said that I should start singing until my voice heals because I sound like Barry White. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but hey, you know, whatever works at the time with what you got. This just come in a little bit ago, Mr. Trump. I know how you feel about Mr. Trump. However, the North Korea summit is off. It was scheduled for June 12th in, I think, Peking in China. Mr. Trump canceled it due to some, gibberish that Kim Jong-un has been saying that, you know, he might cancel it, I might cancel it, I might cancel it. And then they started blowing up or taking care of some of their installations for their nuclear missiles. I guess Mr. Trump just feels that, you know, it's not the right time and it might be a little bit dangerous to be going there at this time. He's not quite sure. And I said from the beginning, don't trust this guy, meaning Kim Jong-un, about meeting anytime soon. I think this is a good move by Mr. Trump. I think it's a business move by Mr. Trump, which I think is good. Politically speaking, you know, it might not be good in the world of politics, but in the world of business, I think it's a good thing. People know how I feel about Mr. Trump, but I think he's looking at the presidential duties from a business standpoint more than a political standpoint. Jay?
I'm not surprised at this development. You know, my opinion on Trump's a little different, not based on the idea that I would want Hillary Clinton or any of that crap or anything like that. It's just, but I'm not surprised by the results because when Trump, I don't know what happened to bring Kim Jong-un to the table. It wasn't something he wanted. I've heard every rumor imaginable that the nuclear facility that they have was going critical or the mountain that they were doing the test in is collapsing in on itself. And that's going to release all kinds of radiation poison into the north. I don't know what it is, but something happened that forced Kim Jong-un to come to the table on this. And it wasn't something Kim Jong-un wanted to do. In no way, shape, or form do I think this guy wants to freaking work things out with us or the South. I don't think that at all. But at the same time, I don't think Trump wanted this either. I don't think Trump wanted Kim Jong-un to stop acting like a maniac because Kim Jong-un, and once again, this goes back to the details are important. The details matter. When you go and you can look online and look at transcripts from their discussions and you can actually read what was the big thing that Kim Jong-un just wanted as an olive branch. He's willing to reestablish talks with the South. I mean, things that North Korean leaders have not done since the 50s. He was willing to do a lot. The one thing he wanted, just as a starter, was he was asking Trump not to do certain military training and certain military equipment. He was asking him not to deploy it to certain areas within the South China Sea. And as soon as Trump got back, not within 3 or 4 days of him returning from his North Korea trip, the first thing he does is the things that Kim Jong-un asked him not to do. He actually moved some things forward that I don't think were supposed to happen for a few months. He moved them up to make sure they would happen right away. So, for Kim Jong-un not to pull out right away to just talk about it, and then Trump to go ahead and pull out right away, it just shows that, yeah, he had no intention of allowing this to go through. What his plan is, if it's for our benefit or not, I don't know. I remain skeptical on that because most presidents don't do anything for our benefit. They tend to sell us out always. So I'm highly skeptical, but we'll see.
He definitely didn't want it to go through. Doing a lot for, you know, you and me or you know, what did old Bammy Mammy call it? Joe DePlumber.
Yeah.
Kind of included in Joe DePlumber. I'm sure Joe DePlumber is an outstanding man, whoever he may be, and works hard, but he didn't do anything for Joe the Plumber, like you said. But he sat around and had a couple of beers with a couple of guys in the beginning of his first administration. Did he not invite two guys over there to share a beer? Of course, his was non-alcoholic. But I was surprised he didn't come out in a turban and robes, though. But, just maybe I shouldn't have said that. But hey, yeah, and not too many presidents have done for, you know, middle class. You know, I guess right now I'm in the lower middle class since there's so much money out there. And hell, I don't have it. I don't know about you, Scoop, but I know I don't have it. So. They're not crumbs like Nancy Pelosi says, but, hey, I'd like a little bit more in my pocket, and I'll find out next year during tax time if I'm going to get more in my pocket. But, Kim Jong-un, back to him. This is a guy that kills, executes his family, I should say, for various political quote unquote reasons. And kid trust the guy that kills his uncle, you know? Or sends his sister to the Olympics to sit behind Mike Pence during the games. So I think Mr. Trump would like this to happen, but maybe it'll be later in his administration. I don't think he's going to wait until right before the election to do this. It'll be done before then.
I would agree with you. What his plan is on it, I'm not sure, but I also agree with you. Yeah, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean state is a basket case. That is a weird communist. It's like a communist monarchy, which just makes no sense, but it is. It's, every family member, firstborn son, that's the one that shows up and is ruling the country next, and they rule it for life. So that's a monarchy, but it's still based on a communist system. It's about this weird cult that is surrounded by the Kim family, and it is a basket case of a country. And yeah, they're starving to death, and you know, his whole country, those people are starving to death in prison camps, but every one of the leaders is fat as hell. So, you can imagine what that place is like. So definitely I'm not saying that Kim Jong-un is the good guy in any way, shape or form. I'm just very highly skeptical on the idea that Trump's the good guy either, because even when it comes to Republican presidents, seem to give us all our crap laws. A large portion of our crap laws and bad ideas that we're dealing with, like the Democratic presidents, they give us stuff too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, and they push for some really radical laws that everybody knows sucks and doesn't want any part of. So that usually screws them up in the midterms. Yeah, they lose control of the House, the Congress. So, you know, they're always interfighting. But, you know, look at Reagan gave us our first amnesty. What a disaster that was. You know, he legalized all kinds of citizens. That came from Reagan. And the gun laws that keep gun prices unnecessarily high. Guys are going in and paying $800 or higher for AR-15s when you should be paying $500 or $400. Well, that came from Bush 1. Go look up the 1989 foreign firearms embargo for anybody listening. That's why you're paying overwhelming prices for guns. Well, that came from a Republican president. That didn't come from a Democratic. Bush 1 signed that in, didn't hesitate for a second to sign it in.
Raising prices on things that the American public wants or needs has been part of presidential history. It's like, raise the price, they won't buy it. You know, raise the price, they won't buy it. I remember Jimmy Carter during the gas crunch in the late 70s. I remember I just got my license, and I remember gas being 49 cents a gallon. And then all of a sudden I remember it was 79 cents a gallon. Pretty sure you raised it, you know, make the gas more expensive. People will buy less. And this way we'll have a reserve. That didn't work either because, you know, hell, everybody bought it. And even when the prices went over a dollar a gallon, you know, right after 9/11, you know, up to $1.50 a gallon. Boy, those bargains back in those days, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that price ticket, I mean, right now, Trump's getting ready to put a bunch of embargoes on foreign cars coming in. Well, you know, maybe that's a good business decision. We'll have to see, but bet your butt that's gonna raise the prices of cars. And let's all look at it. We don't make any cars in America. Everything's brought over from foreign companies. So that's not going to allow domestic companies to drop their prices. That's just going to raise the price on all cars across the board, from what I understand. But I could be wrong. Maybe there is something he's got a plan for. We'll have to see. But, that goes back to what I say is, in the end, I don't believe any of these guys are on our side. We haven't had politicians on our side in God knows how long. And it's not just federal, it's state, too. our state politicians have passed some laws the last few years that are staggeringly abhorrent to everything we understand about what it is to be an American. And people have to take a look at those because it's bad.
I agree. Everything needs to be scrutinized. And, you know, one thing at a time. I think he's trying to do one thing at a time, Mr. Trump is. But it's just impossible. There's so many things wrong. Hopefully, it's great to put that stuff out. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to 7-5 Radio.
Week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Find a game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to wind up more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
All right. Thank you for coming back with us after the break. I have Jay in online here in, I call it Southern Tennessee studio. But actually, it's my living. There's been a push again for free medical for illegal immigrants. And earlier in the week, I tweeted out and got quite a bit of response. You know, if you're here illegally and you're not a citizen, they want to give you up. And it's been going on for years and years and years. You know, it's costing us $3 billion a year, if not more, to give the illegal immigrants medical. And that covers anything, you know, dental, pregnancy, you know, cancer research. Yeah, it covers it all. You know, I made the remark, of course, I'm not going to do it. You know, I might as well jump over to Rio Grande and become a citizen down there and come back and get all this free medical, because my deductibles are through the roof. Every year they freaking go up. And my co-pays go up. And, you know, they're not getting free. It's costing us money. And, you know, it's costing me and you money. And I you know, I can see helping them out, you know. But, you know, once you try to get, it's like a hospital that won't take you because you don't have medical coverage. They will do what they can to stabilize you and then move you on to somebody who will, you know, help you with your problem. And I think that's the way it needs to be now. You know, somebody comes in, I'm not going to turn them away for medical reason, regardless of where they came from. But I'm only going to do so much. And then I'm going to kick them back to, let's say, Mexico General Hospital. I don't think that's our responsibility. And, you know, a lot of people coming over here pregnant, and then you get into the Planned Parenthood nonsense. And I don't think that when we take care of these people, they should stay here. Because once they're here, they're here. It's like a magnet. We're like a magnet. And, you know, Jay, it's just frustrating where when if I lost my job today and my medical, I still got to pay through the COBRA. And if I can afford it, and I can't if I lost my job today. And it's because of all the tax liens that have been put on. I can't save any money. How about you?
No, that's exactly right. That's how it is for the vast majority of America. It's exactly how it is. And when it comes to white America, you know, I know you don't get into identity politics, but just facts. You know, you're paying white America's paying the vast majority of all the taxes, easily 75%. That's coming out of our pocket. We're the ones that are suffering on it, and it's a matter of these problems are not complex. Everybody's got their heads that. Well, why can't we get rid of these illegals? Well, you know, they want to drown y'all out. It's very simple. It's you go, well, we could do it just like they used to do it. You go knock on their door, and if they don't have green cards and they're not supposed to be here, get on the bus. Let's go right now. Within 48 hours, they're back in their country. It's over.
Right.
And that's exactly the way we can handle this. And if North Korea and that country is falling apart, if North Korea can patrol their border, we damn sure can control our border between Mexico and America easily. And the idea that you know, we can't figure this out or it's too complex, it's absolute crap. It's because we tolerate it, because we allow it to go on. It you know, this can all stop, America, whenever we decide that we're done with it and we're going to make it stop. And we do it just like our ancestors did, just like, you know, less than 100 years ago, just like the people in the Battle of Athens did. You know, it's not that complex. We outnumber them. We pay their bills. Politicians are parasites. All government workers, in a weird way, are parasites. Yeah, I'm talking about myself as cops. Yeah, in a weird way, we are. Now, at the cop level of parasite, you're kind of like those shrimp that clean out big fish's teeth. You know, it's like they like them. Those are good kind of parasites. But politicians, they're not good parasites. They're deadly. And we've let them feed off of us for so long and energy and breed among our guts for so long that now it's terminal for this country. And we can stop. We can flush these idiots out anytime we want it to. It's just a matter of when we decide that we're not going to take it anymore, because we've got the money. No, America, you should be able to save money. I mean, we're not in danger of any country invading us. We don't need to be in any other country. There's nothing in the Middle East we need. All this stuff about oil is crap. If anybody goes and looks at oil purchases in the Middle East, go look at oil purchases in the Middle East. They have stayed the same almost all the way back into the 70s, back when the oil price crisis was going on. We went into Iraq, Gulf 1, Gulf 2. It didn't go up. There should have been major changes in our purchases. But no, the amount of oil that we purchased in gallons, it's pretty much stayed steady. Taking population numbers into account, it stayed steady. So this isn't about oil. We don't fight wars over there in these other countries for oil and resources. We don't need any of that stuff. That's just stuff they tell us. So we'll be willing to send our sons and daughters over there to keep fighting. It's crap. And if we pulled our armies home, We closed all the military bases, pulled our armies home, and just and went on a policy of, hey, you know what? If you want to fight with us, fine. Bring it to the door. Come on and invade. You want in? Come on to invade. Well, you'll find out that invading America is a lot like invading Russia. It's easy to get into and impossible to get out of. And that's the way America right. could be. And we could drop income taxes. No more income taxes. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen out there listening, look at your paycheck. If you didn't have any more, we could still take Medicare, Medicaid. We could still take Social Security if you want to. We're just going to end income taxes. If you ended income taxes alone, imagine how much extra money you would have in your pocket every week. Imagine what you could save and get done and plan for your retirement so much better. And the only reason that you don't have that money is because we let these politicians sit around and lie to us. These politicians are fat hogs that we throw the slop to, and the slop is our money. And anytime we want to get these diabetic fat hogs back into shape, it's real easy. It's real easy. Stop giving them our money. Because they don't make money. They don't produce anything. These guys don't own corporations and factories. Trump's probably the only guy that owns any kind of business. The rest of them don't own crap. They feed off our money. They are parasites, nothing more. And when we decide to stop feeding them, they'll lose. They'll go away.
These career politicians are the ones that I dislike the most. When I was growing up, the local councilman had, you know, worked in the liquor store, or he owned the gas station. And then, you know, he went into the councilman's office, you know, like three times a week in the morning, and they discussed, you know, local political stuff, you know, whatever it may have been. I'm just using this as an example, but it goes way up to, you know, up through Congress and mayors and stuff. All of a sudden it's a career job. And when they figured that out, well, we could raise property taxes and I could do this full time and sell the liquor store or sell the gas station. And I could go to work every day wearing a suit and tie and spew out a bunch of nonsense like you were just talking about. And that's another reason why I'm watching this this White House meeting. Mr. Trump is going to address this Kim Jong-un thing about canceling the summit in Peking. But there's 35 people standing around them, and our tax dollars are paying their salaries to stand around and look at the back of Mr. Trump's head as he speaks to the nation. So, you know, you're right. They are parasites. A lot of them are parasites. Some do good. Some, you know, most don't. I guess you got to pick and choose which bill or which law or which statement best suits, you know, you personally or me personally during any administration. Say, well, that worked okay for me, but the other 99 things didn't do anything for me. So, you know, you're right. The parasites and cleaning the teeth and feeding off of us is just, that's got to stop. And, you know, that's why the English came over to this country 300 years ago, because of the taxes over there in Britain. And when we came here, we had a revolution. And Andrew Jackson said to George Washington, we got no money. Guess what? We have to start taxing people. So we're right back where we started 300 years ago. And it's just ridiculous the way the taxes are these days. Yeah. And the income tax. Yeah. I don't mind paying, you know, into Social Security or into, you know, other good programs. But paying taxes for the sake of paying taxes is redundant. It's old. Nobody likes it. And if they get rid of that, you know, then we'll have some more money in our pockets. I mean, it's a lot. People pay a lot in income tax. So I agree with you there, 110%, Jay. You have any shout-outs you'd like to do before we end up the show?
Shout out to, you know, James Lancia, Downtown White Police, still always lets me on. He still does videos. I ask people to give attention over there. Shout out to you and Scoop for letting me come on here. I appreciate it. And Political Cesspool is always a good show. And, you know, shout out to everybody. You know, details matter. The details are important. Don't gloss over the details. Don't just take the basic story. Find out the details to figure out what your next move should be.
Yeah. You know, it was a last minute thing. I spoke to Jay 35 or 40 minutes before we came on air, and just to help me out with this voice. I think he did a great job. Thank you, Jay. You know, 75 Radio. Appreciate you listening, and we'll have more next week.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.